Kof Zayin Adar Rishon, Thursday the 3rd of March, Rabbi Leibish Heller, the Parsha and Purim.
The Shalach Kodesh says that every Parsha is connected to whatever is going to follow that week. And this week, Kitoch Zayin Rish Chodesh Adar, Adar Sheni, which welcomes Purim. So we'll start with the Parsha. There's a Yerushalmi that discusses in Perek Tfilas HaShachar and Brachos, it discusses where do we know what do the 18 brachos of Shemayna Esrei, the original 18 brachos, what do they correspond to? What do they symbolize? Where do we find a precedent for them? Zokti Gemara, there's a lot of days over here in the Amirayim. Zokti Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan Keneged Yudches Tzivuyim Shekosuv Beparshas Mishkon Sheni. In Parshas Mishkon Sheni, we'll discover what that is in a moment, it says 10 times Tzivuy Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. It says 18 times, I'm sorry, 18 times. So Keneged this we have the 18 brachas of Shemayna Esrei. Om Rav Chiya Barva. So Rav Chiya Barva says that if you count, you're going to find 19 times, not 18 times. So he says, Bilvad min v'itoy e'aliyot ben achisamach l'matei don. It's not every time it says Kashetiv Hashem Es Moshe, that Bezalel did Kashetiv Hashem Es Moshe, but it's whenever it says that Bezalel did Kashetiv Hashem Es Moshe, v'itoy e'aliyot ben achisamach l'matei don, when you have that v'itoy, then that is one of the tzivuyim that we count and we use to compare it to Shemayna Esrei. But the first Kashetiva, which excludes Aliyah, which only Bezalel, that is not counted. So of course, we have to understand, what's Pshat in Yerushalmi? What's Pshat? What's the connection between the Tzivuyim of Mishkan Sheni and the Yitzchaz Brachas of Shemayna Esrei? And what's wrong with Bezalel on his own? What's wrong with Bezalel on his own? Why does he need to have Aliyah? Bezalel was a big Yachsin on his own right. Bezalel ke lo yisi. Bezalel is L'shevet Yehuda. Yehuda was the Me'ula Shebeshvatim. And Aliyah was the Matedon. Matedon was the Yoruv Shebeshvatim. Whatever that means. And Bechlal, Yehuda is Tfilah. Tfilah comes from Shevet Yehuda. Yehuda Miloshen Hayda. So what is the connection between these Yudches Tzivuyim and Yudches Brachas of Shemayna Esrei? So I want to share with you a pshat, and I will ask you to bear with me as we try to navigate through this concept, because the origins and the source of this pshat that I'm going to share with you is from the Arizal. And anything that comes from the Arizal is cryptic, and you have to be able to untangle, right, and unravel. So what's pshat? We have a kasha. We all understand pshat. What is the comparison between Yudches Tzivuyim of Mishkan Sheni? So first of all, what is Mishkan Sheni? Mishkan Sheni refers to the second time that the Torah discusses the Mishkan. First time is in Parshiyo, is Truma and Tetzaveh, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu about a Mishkan that he wants him to build. Asha Atamara Bahar, he was shown what the Mishkan should be like and how it should be with all its dimensions and all its details. And the second time around is in Vayakal Pikudei. In Vayakal Pikudei, we have Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu instructing, and finally in Pikudei, we have the Sikkum, we have the conclusion where it's actually being built, and every time something is built, it says, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Now the obvious question, the most obvious question in all of these parshiyos, is why do we need the repetition? You could have easily done away with Parshas Vayakil and Parshas Pikudei, and no information would be lacking. Rashi says in the beginning of Parshas Vayakal, I'm not going to explain all of this because I already explained it in Truma Tetzaveh. It could have said two psukim. One pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu was mitzvah the to do kashetiv oisei Hashem, and another pasuk that Bezalel and Aliyah did everything as they were told. And if you want to know what they did, go check it up in Truma Tetzaveh. You have an exact detail, an accounting of every part of the process. Why do we need a whole repetition of the Gansa Maisa? And it's not just a kasha, it's not just a question. There has to be something to it. Because we know that in Torah, there are many, many halachas that we learn out from a ois. We learn out from a word. Why not more? Why not more elaboration? Why? Because there's no yitur in Torah. If it can be taught with a letter, It will not be taught with a word. If it can be taught with a word, it will not be taught with a pasuk. Certainly not with a parsha. So you have tilei tilei shel halachos that are learned from letters, and here you have a whole repetition one more time of the Mishnah. Now the truth is, the same kasha we have with regards to the Chanukas HaMishkan with the Karbonos HaNesiim. Karbonos HaNesiim is repeated again and again in Parshas Nosson, every Shevet, exactly the same thing. It's almost as if it's there to confuse the Balei Kira, because you know, you have the same words, mamash the same words, and sometimes the trump changes. What's the repetition? It could have said very nicely that he made just like the first Shevet, just like the previous Shevet. He brought the same Karbonos. You know, Nachshon Aminadav brought, and then the next day brought like the previous one. Why the repetition? So over there, Shteitin Sfarim, it's mentioned on a Medrash, that it wouldn't have been correct. If it would have said that the second Shevet brought like the first Shevet, it wouldn't have been correct. That's not true. He didn't bring like the first Shevet. The second Shevet brought an entirely different carbon than the first Shevet. The technical ingredients were the same. The physical product was the same. But the kavana was a different kavana. The experience was a different experience. You and I read it and we see, you know, we see a kaf echas and we see it's mishkala. But the truth is, if we knew what Shevet Yehuda is, and we knew what Shevet Reuven is, we would know that this is a Reuven dikit kaf. It's a different kaf entirely. You can't say he brought the same thing. The kavana changes the nature of what's being brought. It was invested with a different spiritual ruchnis tigid dimension that is not the same as the previous ones. You can't say that it was the same thing. So each shevet talk about a different carbon. The novelty is that they all managed to deliver their entirely different level of avoida, different type of avoida, in the same physical manifestation. But it wasn't the same thing. It was a different avoida. Now the same is true with the Mishkan as well. There's the Mishkan and there's the Mishkan. There's the Mishkan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu. Asherat Amar Bahor, Moshe Rabbeinu was shown a Mishkan by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu was learning Torah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was no Zohov, there was no Kesef. All the 15 ingredients, all the 15 components of the Mishkan were not there. There was a shear. There was a shear that was being given from the ultimate teacher, Amalamet Torah L'Ami Yisrael, to the ultimate Talmud, right? This was speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishkan was a different Mishkan. We have in our own Sforim, we have a little bit, the Rambam writes to his son what the Mishkan represented. Moshe Rabbeinu saw a Mishkan Bahor. It was a Mishkan Bashamayim. It was a Mishkan Bashamayim. That's one Mishkan. There's the Mishkan Rishon of Terumah Tetzaveh. Then there's another Mishkan. There is the Mishkan that involved physically weighing gold and silver, wood and other materials, putting them together and building them, a gashmistic project, a building project. Moshe Rabbeinu's Mishkan was not a building project. Moshe Rabbeinu's Mishkan was high up a Shomai. Now Shmoyne Esther says Yerushalmi corresponds to the second Mishkan. Why the second Mishkan? Which one would you think is the higher of the two Mishkans? Of course we would say the first one is higher. But over here we're told that the Mishkan Shmoyna Esrei corresponds to the second. So let's understand what this means, Rabbi Yisrael. What is Shmoyna Esrei? What is Shmoyna Esrei? The Arizal tells us, and I'm not in a position to explain this any more than repeat it, but he says that there are four shlivos in Tefillah. There are four levels in Tefillah. There's Hoidu, there's Pesukei Dezimra, there's Kriyashma, and there's Shmoyna Esrei. And it's a progression from one step to the next step to the next step. So Sula Mutzav Arza Viroshe Magia Hashemaim. But it says by Yaakov Sula Mutzav Arza Viroshe Magia Hashemaim at Satan Zoyar that the Sulam Do Sloiso. The Sulam that leads from Arza to Shemaim is Tefillah. And these are four levels. And Arizal says that it's actually musical on Tikkun Isaiah that these four levels correspond to the four oilamis of Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. And the only thing we know about these oilamis is that as you progress, as you move higher, you're moving into more ruchniistic elements, and it's a place where there is less of anything but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The highest ultimate level is a place where it's Einoid Mavadai, nothing is felt, and one loses one's identity, one's existence, nothing is there but for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. the definition of Kedusha is in inverse proportion to the extent of Kedusha, is in inverse proportion to the extent that one feels oneself, that one is engaged with oneself. If it's about you and your needs and your desires and your concerns, even if they're kosher or parvic concerns, that is not Kedusha. Kedusha is a place where it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we move. We talk about HaKadosh Baruch. And then we move to Shema. Now what is Shema? Shema is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What does Echad mean? Echad means HaKadosh Baruch is everything. Yachad Miyuchad, right? The Dalet Juchis Aretz and so on. Echad says it should be a place of Mesiras Nefesh. A person is entirely devoted to the extent that there's nothing left. Meisa Nafshei Be'echad. He closes his eyes because there's nothing out there. There's only this reality that I am now concentrating on, which is Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We now know that we are not mechaving in Shemay Nesed, in Kriya Shema the way we should. We know this. The Bar Tanur says in the end of the first Perek of Brachis that, you know, Bizman HaMishnah, Rabbi Gamliel said, Lo Kol HaReitz, Hashem Gamliel said, Lo Kol HaReitz, Lichol Es Hashem Yitel, a chasm couldn't say Shema. Because Shema wasn't just a recitation that took you 5 minutes. Shema was an experience. You couldn't go into that experience if you were a chasm, that you had the concerns of a chasm. You couldn't do it. Nowadays, says the Vatimur, it's from the Paschal, maybe chasm should say Shema, it's not Mechzik Yura, because nobody suspects, nobody choshed you that you are in the Madrega of what Shema was to Rav Gamliel. You know, he's saying Shema, it's alright. But if we talk about what Shema is b'yisoidai, Shema is a madrega of Mesiras Nefesh b'echot. Now here's the question. I ask you a very serious question. What follows that? If it's a progression towards the absolute oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is the next step after Shema? After Mesiras Nefesh, where you said Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that there's nothing but for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is the step that follows that? What would you say should come after this? What can possibly come after this? What can follow the ultimate level of Hashem Echad, which means there's nothing, absolutely nothing, I'm willing and prepared, and I envision giving up my entire being for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad means. So now comes Shemayna Esrei, and that's a step higher. What is a step higher? We know in Allah it's a step higher. The Mishnah says in Brachis, right? Ha'umanin kairin b'reisha ilon b'reisha nidvach ma'she'in ra'shayin la'asiz came b'tfilo. Tfilo, you have to have more cover on it. Tfilo, you have to be standing on the ground. Tfilo, there's different dinim in tfilo. They have to be mafsik b'tfilo. There's no ipnei ha'kavid, ipnei ha'yira b'tfilo. Kishmet is a dinu b'na prakim b'emtza. Tfilo is a level higher. Now, when you take a look at tfilo, what are we talking about? We're saying Rifa'inu. We're saying Baruch Aleinu. Ayyidah is saying, you know, I need Parnasa. Ayyidah is saying, I need to be gesund. Or there's someone else that needs to be gesund. We're saying that, you know, I should be successful. Even the Ruch needs to get tefillahs that we have. Slachlanu, Hashiveinu. These are tefillahs that are focused on ourselves. So how does this constitute a move upwards from Shema, which was the ultimate experience of Mesiras Nefesh, which Mesiras Nefesh is something that is English Shire, English Tire. Rabbi Akiva said, Mosai Yovel Yodi Vakaimeno. Rabbi Akiva's whole life was aspiring that he should be Zoichet to Mesiras Nefesh. How is Shemayna Esther a step up? How could there possibly be a step up? And more specifically, how can these physical needs of a human being be a step up from Kriyas Shema? Kishma, you talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah says, Lama kodma parsha svahavta l'vahayim shemaya shikabla l'vahil macha shemayim chila v'achach ayu mitzvah. V'ahavta speaks about v'ahavta s'ashem alikecha. When you say v'ahavta, you're not thinking about you need parnasa. You're not thinking about you need this or that, or you want this or that. You're thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol l'vavacha. B'shnei Yitzarecha means all of your desires should be focused only on HaKadosh Baruch. So how does that move on to Shemay Nesri? What do we say? This is what the Yerushalmi is discussing. This is what the Yerushalmi is discussing. And I ask you to pay attention. And if there's a lack of clarity, please stop me. Yerushalmi is discussing this, and the Arizal explains it most beautifully. Most beautifully. Shema is about Hashem Echad, but it's not a complete Echad. It is not a complete Echad. Rabbi Yisai, we're not talking about me and you, which is for sure not a complete Echad. We're talking about Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's Kriyas Shema, right? Which only he could say, even when he was a chassan. Yeah, Belayla Rishon of his, because it was in the highest madrig. Even he moved from there to Shema Ne'esre, because Shema was not the ultimate highest level. Why? Because when you close your eyes and you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, what are you saying? You're saying Ribono Shel Olam, Akapora on my parnasa, Akapora on my gezunt. If we can say it privately in this room, Akapora even on my mishpacha. Anything of mine is to the side in face of you. It's only you. That's the Achdus Hashem Echad. B'Shamayim Mevaris B'Yonim V'Tachtayim is only you. But deep down, hidden within that very person who's saying Shema, there is an element, there is a concern, what's going to be with my parnasa? What's going to be with my gezunt? What's going to be with my spiritual growth? What's going to be with my physical needs? You ignore that, you put that aside, and you close your eyes and you say Hashem Echad. The Hashem Echad is true, but it doesn't incorporate every part of this person's being. There's a part of you that's going to emerge when you finish, when you open your eyes, and that part of you will be divorced, will be separate from this Hashem Echad that you just declared. If you were to ask the person who's closing his eyes, what's with your parnasa? What's with your gezunt? Well, that's something that's nothing to do, that has no place. Now it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that is something that seems to be separate from the Hashem Echad. Comes along the Armida, comes along Shema Yisrael, and the Yid says, Ribono Shel Olam, my parnasa, my gezunt, all of my needs are also part of that Echad. I see and I acknowledge and I declare that that comes from you, and that is there for you. That has no value and no purpose and no place in my life outside of you. So if you want, Kriyas Shema is making a line between a person's gashmius, and the person goes to the right of the line, and it's him on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his gashmius remains on the outside of that line. So on this side of the line you have Hashem Echad. But those elements remain outside of the Hashem Echad. Shema Ne'esre is a circle that includes all of a person's elements, every part of a person, all of a person's needs, and all of that is incorporated into the Hashem Echad. When a person eats Am Shema Ne'esre the way he should, he says, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avichem v'Elokei Avraham v'Elokei Yitzchak, Ato choine lo'adam das. If I want das, it's for you and from you. And if I want parnas, I acknowledge at this point that it's from you. That is not necessarily the case by Shema. By Shema, parnas is not a factor. So when you come back to the office, you can think, okay, here it's about me doing things. Here it's about me achieving things. Here I'm the boss. Shema Ne'esre takes it a step further. Shema Ne'esre takes Hashem Echad to a point where there is nothing but, and it incorporates and includes absolutely every part of a person's being. That's Shema Ne'esre. Shema Ne'esre is a step above Kriyas Shema. Shema Ne'esre is not stepping down from the Mesiras Nefesh of Echad. Shema Ne'esre is saying that level that we just achieved in Shema should now be extended to cover everything. Every part of my being. Every one of my needs. Because if I'm ignoring that, then there's a dichotomy. Then there's not an absolute Echad. It's not an absolute Hashem Echad. Says the Yerushalmi, this is Mishkan Sheni. What is the difference between Mishkan Rishon and Mishkan Sheni? What is the difference between Mishkan Rishon and Mishkan Sheni? Mishkan Rishon, we mentioned earlier, was a Hagilui in Hashemayim. It was Bashamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu saw Mara Bahar. Moshe Rabbeinu was with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It didn't incorporate the actual gold, the actual silver, the other materials. The Gashmius was only brought down in Parshas Pikudei. The Gashmius was only brought down in Parshas Pikudei. You can have Tzvayin Hashem Olei Asabayis. Even in a Gashmiistical world, that's a whole new dimension. That's a whole new dimension. It's a separate parsha. It's Mishkan Sheni. That corresponds to the Yudches Brachas of Shema Ne'esre. That Klal Yisrael can manage to not only learn a sugya of a Mishkan, of sugya al pi pshat, al pi remez, al pi soid, al pi lomdes. You can learn the sugya with all of its great high, deep understanding. But that there should be a gashmistika house, and that that house should be moli kvel Hashem, that's a different madriga. That's Mishkan Sheni. That is Mishkan Sheni. And these are the yud ches tzivuyim of Mishkan Sheni. Tzivuy is miloshin tzafso v'chibur. Tzivuy makes a connection. Where was the connection made? The connection of sulam mutzav arzav reishim megiyah shamayim. It's not that you have a ladder so that you can land b'shamayim. The sulam is connecting shamayim v'aretz. The sulam is mutzav arzav reishim megiyah shamayim, that the aretz should also be attached to the shamayim. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is b'shamayim. Shmoina Esra is the Artheus is also incorporated into Bashamayim. The Sulam Mutzav Artav Reisham Yigiyah Shamayim, that is from Mishkan Sheni. By this Parsha, in Parshas Pekudei, Klal Yisrael, by virtue of fulfilling the Tzivri Hashem, were given that Koyach, that they can bring Kedusha into their Gashmis. That a Yid can be concerned about his refuah, or about his parnasa, and the truth, not a game and not a lie. We have to be honest, whether we live up to this is a different question. But the potential is there that this should be truly and solely l'shem shamayim. Kol ma'asecha l'shem shamayim. B'chol drachecha do'eyu. Not to leave on, let go of the ma'asecha and the drachecha, and there's only shamayim, and there's only do'eyu. That is shema, that has its place. That certainly has its place. There's room for that, and there's a need for that, and it's likely that that has to precede the second level. But there has to be a matzav where your own needs are not separate. Your own needs are seen as part of the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He wants to have Kedusha in your life, in every part of your life, in your gashmistik needs, in your physical needs, in your parnasa life, in your mishpacha life. In all of that, there should be Kedusha. That is Amidah. That is Shemayin Aser. And that is Yud Ches Brachis of Mishkan Sheni. It says that tefillah is miloshin naftuli niftalti. Also a chibur. The ultimate loshin of tefillah refers to Shemayin Aser. It's also a chibur. It's a chibur of the person's gashmias and his ruchnias. And that happens ultimately on the highest level by the Shemayin Aser. I don't know if the woman is falling asleep on me or not. But it says, there's a tikkuni zayar that says a dvar pela. I'm sure the one here knows it. But mamash a dvar pela, a pliya atzuma, which needs to be understood. And I think in the light of what we've discussed above, we can make sense of it. Everybody knows this, I believe, that it says that Yom HaKippurim is Kippurim. Yom HaKippurim is Kippurim. What is that supposed to mean? What is that supposed to mean, you know? I always say to myself, it's a ness that this was said by Tikkuni Zohar, and it wasn't said by the Baal Shem Tov. If it would have been said by the Baal Shem Tov, it would have served as another ground. What does it mean, Kippurim? What's going on over here? We're talking about Yom Kippur. You're talking about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Achaz Bashon. Yom Kippur is Achaz Bashon, and Achaz means it's a revelation of that Echod. That Echod. You had the Shteit Vayter in Zohar, it says that the Kohen Gadol, the Yom HaKippurim went into the Kodesh HaKadosh, and there was the Gilui of the Echad and all these levels. In Oilam, and Shana, and Nefesh, and Zman, and Makim, it was a level of Kedusha that was not like nothing else. On Yom Kippur, every year is like a Malach. On Purim, we celebrate. Stack your reason to celebrate. And it's a Chazal, it's complicated. How are you supposed to celebrate? How are you not supposed to celebrate? But you know, you're eating and drinking most of the day. You're eating and drinking. Yom Kippur Yid is on his highest levels. Yom Kippur Yid is on his highest levels. So we have Yom Kippur is Kippurim. What's Pshat? Rabbi Yisai, I don't think it refers to my Purim or to your Purim. But if somebody, maybe it's your Purim, actually, I apologize. But if somebody has the Purim the way it's supposed to be, if somebody can live Purim the way it's supposed to be, if his Achilo and his Shtiyah and even his shikrus, to whatever degree it's allowed, al pi shulchan aruch, is takeh l'shem shamayim. Is takeh part and parcel, is not diverted even for 1 second from the reality of a Kaddish Baruch Hu's presence and his tzivui and his mitzvah and his Torah. If that is possible, then it is a madrega perhaps that is unachievable on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we divorce ourselves from Olam Hazeh. Yom Kippur, we go into shamayim. Yom Kippur is Mishkan Yishai. Yom Kippur is Mishkan Yishai. Yom Kippur Shema. Yom Kippur is Hashem Echad. Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Yisrael Elohim Vav. There's no Elohim Hazeh, and that's the way it should be. Chas V'Shalom Tov. Anybody should see Yom Kippur in any other light. Yom Kippur, a Yid becomes a Malach. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Malachim B'Shamayim. To have a Malach Ba'aretz is a big Yechidish. To have a Malach Ba'aretz, to eat like a Yid, could be more difficult than to daven like a Yid. Right? Could be more difficult. And not only more difficult, because it's a kunz, it's not a kunz, it could be a bigger achievement, in a sense. It could be a bigger achievement because you're demonstrating and you're personifying and you're bringing into reality the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad, bees even inclusive of the very things that on Yom Kippur would be a steer to Hashem Echad. On this day of Purim, they are part of the Hashem Echad. They become part and parcel of the Achdus of Hashem. Not a steer to that. Two different avodas. In Shema, if a person is thinking about Parnassah, he's in trouble. In Shema, you should close his eyes. There should be nothing but a Kaddish Baruch. In Shemoneh Esrei, you shouldn't bother to be thinking about Parnassah per se. You should see the reality that Parnassah is something that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is challenging him with, and to whom for which he has to turn only to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. I'm reminded of a story that there was a Yid. Chassidish Yid was a big businessman. And he had a big business, and he once had to sit down and make a cheshbon. I said, "Let's help him." I said, "From the chassidim are showing him." He had to make a cheshbon of all of his dealings. You know how much he made this year, and whatever, whatever, whatever. So it was a long cheshbon, and he was busy making his cheshbonis. And on the bottom of the page, it said "sach hakoil" and a colon, "sach hakoil" and a colon. So he had to write, "What's his sach hakoil?" And he wasn't doing this to make a game or to make a show. His children found this amongst his papers. On the Sach HaKoil, he wrote three words. What did he write? He wrote, Einoid Mulvadoi. When he saw the word Sach HaKoil, what's the Sach HaKoil? The Sach HaKoil is not that I made X amount or I lost X amount. There's only one Sach HaKoil. The Sach HaKoil was Einoid Mulvadoi. But he wasn't sitting in a bismedesh, even in his business. Whilst he was doing his business, when the word Sach HaKoil came to him, he saw that that is the ultimate Sach HaKoil. With Yashikoya.